Good morning, diners and travelers. You're listening to On the Menu with Ann and Peter Haig. And what do we have today?
Well, we have two ice cream suppliers, each with their own totally fascinating story. First one, Humphrey and Slocum, the connection is explained but really doesn't make much sense. And the other one was a product created for the nutrition of the founder's mother, I think. Right?
He made a
special ice cream because she needed nutrition because she was unwell.
Right.
And then we're going to finish up with a beverage that's sort of like coffee but not, and anticipate displacing coffee with a cocoa-based beverage in the world's diet of those people who need a boost to get them going in the morning. So that's what we got in today's program. And first up, we have Jay and...
We have Jake Grubby and Sean Vahey from
Humphrey Slocum
in
San Francisco, California.
Right. And their stuff's fabulous. I'm not supposed to say this, but my favorite ice cream in the whole country is Humphrey Slocum. And we have the co-founders and principals, Jake Grubby and Sean Vahey. Is it Vahey or Vahey?
Vahey.
On the line, talking ice cream. And boy, I don't know what it's like in San Francisco, where you're headquartered there, but here it's like mid-90s, pushing 100. How about you?
We're pretty warm. We're lucky in San Francisco. We stay nice and cool in the summer, so... We are, we're warm, but with a nice cold breeze. Wouldn't you agree, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I'm wearing a sweater, so.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, I'm wearing a sweater. Probably low 70s.
Yeah, well, yeah. Now, I mean, the heat's good for the ice cream business, right?
It certainly is.
I think good ice cream is the secret to the ice cream business. And a little bit of intrigue in the name. Doesn't hurt either. So who wants to tell us where Humphrey Slocum came from? It's neither of your names. It's not even close. But there is a connection to something that will be known to many of our listeners, or shall we say more likely viewers. So who'd like to tell us how the name came about?
Well, it's there's a British cult show from the 70s called Are You Being Served? It's frequently on PBS, and it's named after two of the main characters, Mr. Humphreys and Mr. Slocum.
And Mr. Humphrey is in charge of the men's department, and Mr. Slocum is the owner. Did I get that right?
No, Mr. Slocum runs the women's department, and Mr. Humphreys is in the men's department.
Okay, and then you forgot the boss, right?
The boss?
The owner of the store. He didn't even make it into the name.
No, Miss Grace Brothers.
That was it, okay.
Now, you started out with a single scoop shop, right? I mean, what led you, one of you, is it Jake who's a chef?
Correct.
Okay, and Sean, what was your involvement with ice cream?
We're still figuring that out.
Well, whosever idea it was, it's a good one, because as I said, it's gotten so many awards and rave reviews. I just adore it. So tell me, you started out with a single shop, and now you have what, three?
No, we still only have two shops right now. We have our shop here in the Mission.
But you have
and
a
we
truck.
Have our second. Yes, we just got a truck, like, last week.
Uh-huh.
It hasn't even been fired up yet.
And are you going to have a little bell like the Good Humor Man?
No, we're still working. Not yet, anyway.
Well, you need to get permission to use the theme music from Are You Being Served, I think.
That would be that's a good idea, yeah.
Well, we have this one very conservative a section in Pittsburgh in the South Hills that actually sued their local Good Humor Man for noise pollution and won.
And won?
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Well, it's very peculiar.
But song could drive you a little bit crazy, so I can sympathize.
Yeah, that's true.
But all the kids love it.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, I used to have the schedule up at my desk when graduate school. But anyhow, you're known for the quality of your ice cream. Where did you learn to make ice cream?
I was a pastry chef for, you know, the last 15 plus years at different restaurants around San Francisco. So I had always made ice cream, just mm-hmm. in much smaller amounts.
Uh-huh. But it's so wonderful. I mean, your texture is great. Your flavors are great. You have a lot of innovation in your flavors, too. I mean, how did you get so superior in making ice cream?
Well, I would never use those words, but thank you. I don't know. I just like to think that I'm open to anything and trying anything, as long as it makes sense. There's a lot of really good ice cream in San Francisco, so there was never a reason. I never wanted to duplicate what other people are doing and doing well, so that kind of forces us to be a little bit more innovative than we might be if we were somewhere else.
By innovative, you mean the flavors and combinations?
Sure. Exactly.
Let's give people one example, and we'll talk about some more later on. There's one that's called the breakfast something.
Secret breakfast.
Secret breakfast.
And go on, tell us what's in it.
It's by far our number one top seller. It's a bourbon and cornflake ice cream, and we've had it since day one.
And what brand of bourbon do you use?
It varies. Sometimes we use Jim Beam, sometimes we use... it doesn't really matter a whole lot. Once it's going into ice cream, you lose a lot of the nuance of the bourbon. So nothing too expensive.
I can remember way back when I was a child, I think, somebody came up with an ice cream called Rum Raisin, which we used to love. It didn't have very much rum in it, but it was rather unusual, and so this is a trend that you didn't exactly invent, but you've certainly taken it to extremes, I think.
Bourbon's sure, in yeah, everything I mean, these days.
Yeah, bourbon's in everything, but what about the strawberry? Now, you were not satisfied to just have strawberry.
Sean, do you want to explain the strawberry?
Sure. Well, we have lots of different strawberry variations. The one that we have right now is one of my favorites, and it's called the Eaten Mess, and it's sort of a play on the classic English dessert, but classically it's made with fresh strawberries and cream, and ours is fresh strawberries and house-made marshmallow. So we've given it a little spin, and it's very popular, and it's a beautiful color, and our strawberry season is gorgeous right now. I think this is our fourth month serving strawberry, which is... I've never seen that before, so the strawberry season in San Francisco, or the Bay Area, rather, has been very fruitful, so to speak.
Now, nobody sued you from eating?
No, no one has sued it. Knock on wood.
Yeah, keep a low...
I think it's in the public domain by now. So.
Yeah, keep a low profile, whatever you do.
I think that's a good idea.
Well, now, part of your cachet is... the wit in your names. Don't you agree?
Sure. Go ahead, Jake.
We try to be playful.
Well, you are playful and funny and witty. I'd like to hear you describe your Tahitian vanilla. How it's written.
Jake, do you want to talk about that?
No, you can talk about
it. Yeah, well, we spell it like it's a bad word because, in other words, we sort of have blocked out after the V. We use an at sign, then an exclamation point, then LL, and then a star because it's anything but vanilla. It's one of those scenarios where vanilla the term vanilla is usually used alongside of something that's boring, and our vanilla isn't boring. It's big and it's intense, and it's the best vanilla on the planet.
Nothing vanilla about our vanilla.
That's right.
So, I mean, do you stand out in terms of sourcing quality ingredients as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially in San Francisco, you're almost forced to, which is fantastic. People here know their food and know where things are sourced and know the names of the farms that we use. So it's definitely a big part of who we are.
Yeah. Now, you sometimes pair with some other companies because the product, that the flavor that won the Silver Sophie for the fancy food shows, the Specialty Food Association this year, was Blue Bottle Vietnamese Coffee. So did you partner with, is I guess what I'm saying, Blue Bottle for their coffee?
Yeah, absolutely. I've known James, who founded Blue Bottle, for years. Coffee is my go-to flavor personally when I'm eating ice cream. So there was never any question about which coffee we would use. So
yeah, that's the best, isn't it? Yeah. How do you get your ideas? Can you pick a flavor and explain how it got developed?
Each one's different. Sometimes I say I just do what the voices tell me to. it can come from anywhere. Just reading other people's menus, seeing a combination of flavors. I had a foie gras dish somewhere that had a hibiscus and beet component to it, and that led to hibiscus beet sorbet. It can just be a whim. It could be just stealing ideas from other people, anything.
So, and do you have like a laboratory that you develop these flavors in?
We have a tiny little kitchen.
I see.
There's no laboratory.
So all of this comes out of this little kitchen.
Yeah.
Wow. And what about production? I mean, what's quantity? I mean, how much do you make?
God, I couldn't even tell you right now. It varies a lot, especially in summer. We're working with the co-packer now that's helping us make pints because we're in Whole Foods and some other stores. We started a few months ago. There's no way we could do that ourselves. So when we do that, we can do like 500, 700 gallons a day.
Wow. So, and you have a facility that produces these for you now.
Yeah, we're working with a larger place that makes our pints for us.
Well, I mean, are you afraid you're going to lose some of the funk and the fun? You're obviously intent on building your brand.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be really careful because, I mean, we like to think we have a little bit of street cred, and we're very, very protective of it, and we're protective of the brand we have built. And, yeah, I mean, that's one of our challenges, I think.
Yeah, don't go the Ben and Jerry's route, whatever you do, huh? I mean, they must be an example of what it is you'd never do. I mean, they did.
Cookies and cream.
They did kind of sell out.
Well, you know,
people love Ben and Jerry's. There's an ice cream out there for everybody. We just make ice cream that nobody else is doing. You know, we're making quality flavors that no one else makes and that no one else has ever dreamed of. So that's why I think people love us, and I think that's why we resonate with some people. And I know a lot of people who love Ben and Jerry's. But I think our number one flavor that we would never do, and Jake, you remind me of this all the time, is cookies and cream.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with cookies and cream. It's just like, you know, there's so many places where you can get it, and that we have nothing to add to it. So
exactly. Now, do you ever think back to the origins of ice cream?
What are the origins of ice cream?
Well, you must know.
It was probably developed in China, wasn't it?
No, it was actually developed in Italy.
Oh.
And Catherine de' Medici, who was obviously Florence, she married the King of France. And she was so lonely in Paris when she got there that he built her a big palace. But the other thing that he did was he arranged for the person who had created two desserts, ice cream and gelato, for her in Florence, and took him to Paris, and the rest, as they say, is history.
So the French, I had no idea. Wow.
And the name of the guy was Talenti.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's a manufacturer of gelato called Talenti.
Yes, which is a very good gelato. Do you know him?
No, yeah. So
Talenti is in every corner store on the planet.
Well, it never used to be.
Well, that's where the name came from. Talenti was one of the names. It was like, I don't know whether it's a last name or a first name. And there's a first name that goes with it. Who is the name of the man himself? I've forgotten it. But the Talenti gelato is really good, too.
Well, you know, when I think of ice cream making, I think of, like, also very good was Jenny's. I mean, still very good, but there's so much liability in any kind of food anymore, isn't there?
You have to be careful.
Uh-huh. I mean, but who ever thought you'd get Listeria in ice cream making?
I don't think Jenny's planned on it, that's for sure.
No, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Right.
No,
Now tell me, is your most popular shop the one at the Ferry Building?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Isn't that a great building, huh?
Yeah, it's
beautiful.
We're so thrilled to be there.
So what is your master plan? Because you mentioned New York.
Well, that's my master plan.
Our master plan is global ice cream domination. Just kidding.
Yeah, right now we're just day to day. We're figuring out as we go along.
Uh-huh. You sound like you're managing to have quite a lot of fun in the process.
We're trying.
And don't ever stop, because that fun translates into the pleasure of the people who come and get your ice cream and become cult favorites. You become a cult favorite, and. Humphrey Slocum, I wonder if the people who appeared in the Humphrey and Slocum actually know you exist.
Well, unfortunately, they've all passed away now.
Yeah, they're all dead.
Yeah, the original cast has all passed away.
Wow.
They are remaking the show, though, right now. It's in production.
Oh, they are?
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I didn't know that.
BBC is remaking the show right now.
Yeah, it was one of my mother's favorites.
My mother, too.
There we go.
So, where are you two from originally? I think we talked about that once.
I'm from Wilmington, Delaware.
Okay.
I'm from Zanesville, Ohio.
Oh, that's right. We talked about Zanesville. Right, because that's from Muskingum College.
Well, you can blink and miss Zanesville.
Yeah.
but there was a typhoon that didn't. What do they call this? Not a typhoon. A tornado.
Tornado.
That tore the town apart. But we have relatives in Cambridge, Ohio, so we used to drive through Zanesville all the time, and we sort of knew we were about halfway.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have an ice cream maker in this area, and you could take things to him. Anything you wanted, and he would make ice cream out of it. What do you think about that as an idea?
Sounds like a lot of liability.
I mean, he did, you know, special, like for Indian weddings, he had Indian spices and things like that. And go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we do a version of that. Like, we work with chefs and, like, come up with custom flavors for restaurants and but not for people just walking in off the street.
Yeah, I always wanted to do an eggplant. What would you add to eggplant for ice cream?
Well, you could do that at home yourself.
Not as much fun.
Yeah. You like green peppercorn ice cream.
Green peppercorn, too. Chocolate green peppercorn ice cream. That was another one of my thoughts.
That sounds good.
Yeah. Well, let me know when you have that one. Well, I can't tell you how much fun it is talking to you and enjoying your ice cream. And keep us posted on what your plans are. Maybe you'll
Thank you for having us, and yes, yeah, we'll definitely keep you posted.
Okay, and when we're in San Francisco, we'll look you up in the Ferry Building, huh?
We'll be looking forward to it. Please come back.
All right, Jake, good being, and Sean Vahey, ciao, ciao.
Yeah, okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
And don't go away, because we'll be right back.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
Welcome back. I mean, I guess it pays for you to know that this Brio ice cream is so nutritious, but you wouldn't know. I mean, it's not, it tastes like just really good ice cream. And so then you could be really relaxed about eating it, I suppose. Well, we all know now that we can get healthy ice cream thanks to Ron Koss and his twin brother. Ron, this is not your first venture into healthy foods, having established and run for a while Earth's Best Baby Foods. But you said this idea of Brio, the healthy ice cream that I just was eating, actually came first. What made you think of it?
Well, a lot of ideas, a lot of innovative ideas come about as a result of, you know, real-life situations that inspire creative thinking. And at the time, in around 1983, our mom was ill, and she did not enjoy those liquid nutritional drinks that people often consume when they need supplemental nutrition.
Right.
And I just thought, you know, why can't ice cream be delicious and provide the kind of nutrition that someone like my mom needed at the time? And that was the kind of like the conception of the idea. Ice cream that delivers super nutrition, that's delicious, that my mom could enjoy, and she could get the benefit of all the nutrition. That was the initial, way back in 1983,
that's
idea.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
Now, where were you at this time? You're in Vermont now.
Well, I was in Vermont, but my parents lived in South Florida, so, but, you know, I was in Vermont.
And it's a twin, but I mean, do you do everything together?
Well, we married different women.
Oh, that's helpful.
But not everything together.
Yeah, got that.
But my brother lives in Hawaii, so, and I live in Vermont, so there's a separation there. I've been more focused in on kind of like the technical side of business. I developed the recipes for Earth's Best Baby Foods. I've developed Brio. I'm more involved in operations and production. And Arnie has been more involved in the other parts of the business, like sales and marketing and finance and stuff like that.
Now, what is your food background?
Well, I have some scientific background in nutritional biochemistry. I don't have a degree in it, but I have studied it at the graduate level. But mostly, you know, I consider myself an entrepreneur. I enjoy cooking. I have a good feel for food and really, you know, both Earth's Best and Brio were great opportunities to be creative, innovative, and be free to kind of like start doing something that hadn't been done before. So I would just say I'm a person who likes cooking, and I've had a lot of practice.
Yeah, well, the probiotics, of course, seems to be the hot button right now. They had, I'm just writing up a review of the overview of the Fancy Food Show in New York. And I mean, one of the items that struck me as totally hilarious was probiotic popcorn.
Right. I know. You know, people can get carried away with it. You know, the idea of probiotics and ice cream makes perfect sense.
Yes.
And one of the challenges with the probiotics is to make sure that you not only add the probiotics, but you actually, the people who are eating the product actually benefit from it. And that's one of the challenges of the probiotics.
Yeah, how do you measure it?
Well, you know, you add a certain amount based on the number of called colony-forming units that are actually in the probiotic ingredient, in the powder. And so, you know, we know exactly what we want to deliver, and we add that amount in when we're actually in production.
Now, doesn't it make you mad when you hear these wild claims from Jamie Lee Curtis and other shills that this 1,000 pounds of what's it called the yogurt you would have to eat to get the benefit?
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of marketing out there in the food world, and probiotics.
Activia. That's the Activia. That's the word I was looking for.
Right. Probiotics is definitely one of those ingredients that have been where marketers have really taken advantage of the facts, because, you know, much of the probiotic bacteria that's, let's say, in a frozen yogurt, you know, it's added, but it doesn't, the bacteria doesn't survive the freezing conditions.
Well, that's
and
what I
by the time it gets to a consumer, there's often very little probiotic benefit. We've chosen a probiotic that actually survives the freezer conditions and does deliver the benefit.
See, that's one of the questions I had, because I thought that all that bacterial activity would cease when the freezing was achieved.
Now, we use a probiotic made by a company called Ganeden, which is G-A-N-E-D-E-N, Ganeden, and they have a specific probiotic bacteria that is actually resistant to degradation in freezer conditions. So it's perfect for what we're doing, and otherwise, you know, it would be pointless to add the probiotic, because it would just, the activity would dissipate over time. But that's not the case with the probiotic we're using.
Well, you actually got into it because you wanted firsthand to deal with your mother's requirement, right? So it was really important to you not to create a product that was highly marketable, but one that was highly effective.
Right, and you know, and for everyone who's going to be looking at Brio as a new way to look at ice cream, you know, why not ice cream that delivers both deliciousness and that kind of nutritional value?
Right. You have a lot of other things in there. You start with organic whole milk from pasture-raised cows. I mean, that in itself is kind of an upgrade across the board of most ice creams, right?
Well, a lot, yeah. Most ice creams are not using pasture-raised or organic milk. And but, you know, we're, you know, our background is Earth's Best Baby Food, so we were 100% organic baby food company, and so we have a connection and an orientation to organic foods, and you know, we were very pleased when we were able to secure a supply of this kind of quality.
And then how did you determine what vitamins and minerals you want to put in? I think it's high in omega-3s, you said?
Yes, well, I guess there are two parts to it. There's the product has to be delicious, because no matter how healthy the ingredients are, if it's not delicious, then it's not ice cream to be enjoyed. So I work with two former Ben & Jerry's senior flavor guys. I still work with one of them. They're incredibly talented, and in conjunction with them, I worked with a group of dietitians and nutritionists who provided me the orientation to what would really make ice cream a, you know, wholesome, nutritious snack and alternative. And so between the former Ben & Jerry's guys and the nutritionists, we had the kind of like the unusual marriage of delicious and nutritious in ice cream.
Right. The it comes, what we have is single serve. Is that how it comes in general?
It also comes in like a 14 fluid ounce or a small pint cup. So it's kind of like what you would expect to see, like, like a Ben & Jerry's product or Haagen-Dazs type product. So we have both the small single serve cup that has a spoon inside conveniently, and we also have the larger cup.
Yeah, I mean, we were just experimenting with the spoon. Actually, it's much easier to use a regular spoon than the plastic bendable thing.
Besides, you can get it in your mouth a whole lot faster.
Exactly.
so you can have
right. Well, that's we put the plastic spoon in there just because there are a lot of people who would say I'd buy it if I could eat it on the spot. But you know, some people buy something, they're not going to go home right away. They like the product, so the spoon makes it convenient.
Yeah, it's kind of cute too. I mean, I noticed. But anyhow, my question every time I interview anybody that has to do with health benefits of their product, I always end up asking, like, how much of it do you need to eat?
Well, I mean, I think that, one of the foundation blocks for Brio and for me personally, philosophically, is that, the key to food, eating food, especially something like a dessert or ice cream product, is moderation.
Mm-hmm.
The trick is, no matter how healthy it is, not to overeat it. And so Brio has a lot of health value, but it shouldn't be overeaten, because ultimately you get more calories than you should, even though they're high quality calories. So,
okay.
One of those small cups, what's that?
In order to get the benefits of these nutrients,
one cup. One of those little cups.
Will do what?
Well, one of those little cups will give you all of that micronutrition, vitamin A, C, calcium, vitamin D.
A recommended daily supply?
That's right. And you'll also get, just a moderate amount of calories. Let's say in our very strawberry Brio, there's 135 calories in that small cup, and you'll get a moderate amount of fat, only 5 grams of total fat. So, and you'll get the probiotic benefit, and you'll get some omega-3, 6, and 9 fats, essential fats. And so you get a lot of benefit in a small serving with Brio.
Because usually it turns out that in order to get the nutrient benefits, you have to eat tons of something.
Now, she's been hiding this, you understand, Ron. She's been hiding it away behind the Humphrey Slocum. And
No, I love Humphrey Slocum.
So I don't even know it's there.
You've eaten almost all the Humphrey Slocum.
I just found out from our last guest
that he ate up all their honey.
I didn't know you were hiding the Brio. I didn't know there was any there.
Well, with Brio, you're going to hopefully have the experience of getting that deliciousness and feel like you're having a super premium ice cream, but have the peace of mind that you're also doing something good for yourself.
Right. Well, right now, we've talked to a lot of people who are anticipating a big market for cannabis, and they're working with developing recipes for products using it. And the quantity control it varies so much from person to person that's really a stumbling block for all this new cannabis-based stuff.
Right. Right, I'm very deliberate about, how we decide to jump on something or not jump on something, and, so I think that particular trend will take its course. We'll see what happens with the supply, and, with Brio, we'll make an informed decision at the right time whether that's an ingredient we would want to use.
Now, how do you market this? I mean, are you online?
Yes, we have a website, BrioLovesYouBack.com.
Oh, that's right. I knew there was something key there.
And so, Brio is just getting out nationally into the marketplace. We'll be in 35 states by the end of the year. The best way to find out where we are is to go to BrioLovesYouBack.com and go to the store locator area of the website to see where it is in the part of the country you are in. And, you know, we intend to be and have received a lot of interest from colleges, universities, corporate cafeterias, in addition to nursing homes and hospitals, in addition to major retail outlets, supermarket outlets.
Yeah, and that's a good twist on mainly the. I've noticed that ice cream, artisanal ice cream, which is the hottest topic going now, I think, that they're concentrating on getting some unusual flavors, really bizarre flavors for the most part. So, but you took another route altogether. Brilliant.
Right. We, you know, we're not trying. I mean, Brio isn't trying to be trendy, you know, and having that trendiness with flavors be its hallmark. You know, Brio's hallmark is a new way to look at ice cream as a healthy indulgence. And so, you know, we want to offer flavors that are, you know, that are delicious and more commonly known and accepted. You know, but we do have like a delicious vanilla caramel. That's a salted caramel.
I had that
product
too before I got on the phone.
And that's made with real organic caramel. So that's, and so it's really a delicious, I hope you found it to be delicious.
I liked it, yes.
A product, and we have a delicious mango product. And so, so you know, Brio has six flavors right now, and, you know, we'll probably introduce some others down the road.
Well, I wish you much luck with your company, and I hope Brio becomes as successful as Ben and Jerry's ended up being, or more so. How's that?
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your interest, and I'm glad you tried several flavors, because, you know, with ice cream, it's like, you know, people gravitate to what they like, and, you know, some people love our chocolate, and some people love our Madagascar vanilla. And some people are tropical mango devotees. They just love that flavor. So, you know, six flavors, you know, hopefully for just about anyone, they'll find their flavor of Brio.
Right. But I keep asking all my interviewees, ice cream makers, when are you going to develop an eggplant flavored one?
Well, well, how about if we do a petition? When we get 5 million signers for that, we'll do it.
That's fair enough.
Yeah, well said, Ron.
Oh, Ron, you're fun to talk to.
I'm ready. My Ben and former Ben and Jerry's guys friends, you know, they'd love a challenge like that.
I could never figure out what the spice flavor you put with the eggplant. I mean, basil, I guess.
It's going to be basil or something.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, just roll it around in your head. I'm sure you'll come up with something, and if so, let us know.
I'm going to put that one on the back burner.
Okay, Ron. Thank you so much for talking to us.
And thank you very much. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Podcasting services for On the Menu Radio are provided by ASP Station, www.aspstation.net.
The founder of Creo Brew is nothing if not enthusiastic and What's the word I'm looking for? Reaching out strongly into the future by saying, I think there's an opportunity to displace the morning, or throughout the day for that matter, a cup of coffee that Americans use probably more than any people on earth to keep themselves revved up. So he decided that he would investigate an alternative beverage based not on coffee beans, but on cocoa beans. And what's his name, sweetheart?
Well, he's not the one we interviewed.
Well, no, no. What was his name?
Dr. Eric Dirtsky.
Yeah, and he's a farmer, but he's also an innovator and an inventor.
And he travels the world, which is why we couldn't pin him down for an interview, rescuing cacao beans.
right. But
we did talk to the VP of sales, Carrie Christensen, and the head of communications for the company, John Kilmer. And the company is Creo Brew.
And this is great stuff. This is what you need to help you through the day with antioxidants as well as an energy jolt. Is that how you describe it, sweetheart?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's intended as a coffee replacement, and I guess we'll wait a few years and see if that really happens. But in the meantime, these people are certainly making a lot of noise, and they have a great story to tell.
To be talking to two representatives of a six-year-old company called Creo. Creo is not exactly a household name yet, but it may well be. It's contributing to what I view as a beverage revolution. Do you agree, Carrie Christensen, who's the VP of sales, and John Kilmer, who's the head of communications for Creo, that there is, in fact, a big upheaval in the beverage world today?
Yes, 100%. In fact, a lot of the buyers we've been meeting with lately have been calling this the third coffee wave. And there's just everybody's always looking for a healthier alternative. There's a big surge right now for people trying to decrease their caffeine consumption, and Creo Brew is able to do that because this actually has only 12 milligrams of caffeine in it, which is about, the caffeine, or in the coffee, it has about 160 milligrams, so it has way less, but it has a different stimulant in it called theobromine, which gives you a more natural, sustained energy, so you don't have the rise and fall of caffeine.
Yeah, I mean, to be really straightforward, the effect is not the same as caffeine.
Well, having drank both in my lifetime, I could say that the uplift of the theobromine in Creo Brew is very gentle, and the downside when you're coming down off of it is very gentle, whereas with coffee it's more abrupt on the upside, and then when it's over, when it gets out of your system, it really drops you quickly, and so you can physically feel that energy drop. So it's a much more gentle upside and downside from my experience.
Now, let's go back to sort of first principles here. I just asked you, John, because I really wanted not to sound really stupid, but both coffee and cocoa and the cocoa derivative chocolate are all actually made from this. No, they're not actually made from the same bean. There are cocoa beans, and then there are coffee beans. And in the case of Creo, we're talking about cocoa beans.
That's correct. It's not coffee, and there's no added caffeine. The theobromine is naturally occurring, as are the abundant antioxidants. Carrie, you may want to talk about the antioxidant benefits.
Yeah.
Go ahead, dude. Go ahead.
Yeah, Creo Brew actually has three times the antioxidants as a cup of blueberries to give you a sustainable measure. And the IU scale, which is how they measure antioxidants, it Creo Brew ranks about 10,000, and a cup of blueberries is around 3,000. So it's got a lot of health benefits, including it's really heart healthy. Cacao has one of the highest concentrations of magnesium out of any other food, and about 86% of Americans are deficient in magnesium. So that's a whole other aspect that you get. So it's really, really heart healthy. Magnesium helps prevent, heart disease and several other things. But cacao, it's been known for years back in the Aztec days as one of the superfoods, and everyone has been recommended to get a minimum amount of dark chocolate a day, and that's what Creo Brew is. It's just 100% dark chocolate, 100% cacao.
Now the trick is in the chocolate. It's not in the product Creo, you don't introduce it. It's a part of the product, and you presumably refine it in a way that's different than other cocos. I'm not quite sure what the distinction is between Creo and just like what we used to call just drinking sugar. Chocolate.
Drinking chocolate, yeah. So the big difference is regular, your standard drinking chocolate or hot chocolate has sugars added to it or milk, sweeteners, whereas Creo, we just take the actual cacao bean. We use the whole bean, the nib, the husk, and we roast it and grind it really fine into a perfectly powdered form that you're able to put in a coffee maker and brew it just like you would coffee. Now, normally, if you add hot water to chocolate, it's just going to melt. But this actually, it has a filter and it's brewed just like you would coffee. So the taste is going to be bitter. I mean, it's like drinking 100% dark chocolate, whereas your hot cocoa has the sugar and butter and
I get it.
But so you say that actually this eliminates the bitterness you get from coffee beans.
Well, they say that coffee lovers love Creo too. So we're not trying to exclude coffee from the mix. It's just a different alternative. Some people like their coffee black, and they may like their Creo without sweetener. I'm sitting here sipping on a cup right now, and it's got a little bit of sugar in it and a little bit of creamer in it, and that's just according to the taste of the person, and it's totally controllable because it doesn't come with sweetener and creamer in it. You decide how sweet you need it to be. I've actually mixed it with milk and created the best chocolate milk that I've ever had, and some people put the grounds in cookies and create magical chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, I saw that on the packaging that you could use it for baking.
No, I thought that I heard someone say earlier on that Creo has a lot less caffeine than there's regular coffee, and I've one of the things I've always sort of hated about decaffeinated coffee is it seems that somehow something horrible has been done to the bean.
Yeah, we like caffeine.
we kind of like caffeine anyway, but in the case of Creo, we're actually dealing with a different bean in the first place. Am I right?
Yes. So, yeah, it does have a lot less caffeine, the same amount as a cup of decaf. But what you have to realize with Creo Brew is it has 358 milligrams of theobromine. And theobromine is just a natural stimulant. Similar to caffeine, it's just different, I guess. And Doug did a good job of describing it, where it's more gentle and it doesn't kind of give you the ups and downs. And so a lot of people that are heavy coffee drinkers or energy drink drinkers can drink Creo Brew, and even though it doesn't have the caffeine, they still are able to get a nice stimulant effect without having the caffeine withdrawals or anything like that. So this still does give you energy. It's just a different type.
Well, tell me this. How does this come down in terms of yerba mate?
Yerba mate?
Yeah.
Mate is a fun drink from the mate plant, which I know is really big in Argentina. And it's just different. That's from a different plant. This is from the cocoa plant. This is from the mate
plant.
But
this description of the effect of the drinking mate sounds very much like the effects of drinking Creo.
Absolutely. Absolutely it is. And I'm not 100% familiar on the exact amount of mate and everything. I know it has caffeine in it, though, and it has antioxidant properties because it's from a plant. Just in my own experience from drinking mate, though, I feel like Creo tastes a whole heck of a lot better because mate kind of tastes like dirt water to me.
I think it does. It tastes like dirt to me.
There we go. Okay. Now,
yeah.
Now,
has tastes like chocolate, so it's a little bit yummier.
Now, where does Creo fit into this? Did Dr. Dertzky, did he invent a process that didn't exist before? How did you become interested in this particular marketplace, and is there anyone else in it besides Creo?
Well, if I could take that question, I know that Eric was raised on a farm, and he has been raised with the expertise on how to grow crops effectively, efficiency, and for best output and quality. And so he brought that background into his cocoa business and has become a bit of a doctor of cocoa, working with all of these equatorial countries, in many cases rural farming villages, to develop the best way to cultivate and process the world's best cacao beans. So he goes and gets a different flavor from each one of these countries, whether it's Ecuador, Dominican Republic, Ghana. There's a new line coming out, or a new flavor, Chuno, from Nicaragua coming online this fall. Pumpkin spice, and he's got several countries that they are actively developing, not only just the beans, but also developing the economic welfare of these rural villages to become major producers of high-quality artisan cocoa.
Now, did he actually invent a new way of processing the beans, or is it simply buying really good beans and then sort of and then grinding them up to a powder, as you described?
Yeah, so he has a patent-pending process.
Okay, got it.
And at least one of his machines, he wouldn't want you to take a picture of it because it's, it is proprietary, and has he's figured out a way to maintain the oils in the process such that they produce a much better flavor. And Carrie, maybe you have something to add to that.
Yeah, it's I mean, John, you totally said everything I would have said. I mean, he did patent the process. Eric actually, Dr. Gerchi, built I think one of the only machines in the world that can grind the beans fine enough to be able to put it in a coffee maker without breaking it. So he has a patent on not only the roasting process, but the grinding process as well.
Got it, okay.
And he just wanted a healthier way to bring chocolate to people, and this is so convenient, too.
So he set out to find a better cocoa, or what did he set out to find?
Just a healthier way to bring chocolate to people. So when he became a doctor, he still never lost his love for chocolate and discovered that, oh my gosh, there's so many health benefits to chocolate that people don't know about. And so that's when he created Creole Brew. It's the drink of the gods, the Aztecs were drinking it, and it had medicinal properties. And he actually works directly with the farmers in all of the countries that we get our beans from.
What,
and,
is he an MD?
Very particular about how they're grown.
Is he an MD or a PhD?
He's not. He's a PhD. He's a chiropractor, actually.
I see. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he grew up where?
I believe he grew up in Idaho, but he grew up on the farm. And,
okay.
And he transferred to the city as he got his expertise, but he grew up learning how to farm.
I see. I'm just trying to get a handle of
how
you set out. Did he make chocolate first or cocoa first or what?
You know, I am not sure. I know he's very well known as an artisan chocolate maker. He actually has some phenomenal chocolate bars. They're called Dirty, and he just won bronze in the International Chocolate Awards for his Dirty bars, and he's always made chocolate, but Creole did come first, and then just in the last year, he's developed the artisan chocolate bars, and he actually travels all over the world educating people on how to best grow cacao, how to best make the chocolate, and kind of best practices of the industry.
Well, now let's talk a little bit about listeners being able to get their hands on some of this elixir of life, by the sound of it, called Creole. The packaging's amazing, but what kind of stores are people going to be able to find it in, or can they get more information from the company directly? How do they go about it?
Absolutely. Yeah, so on www.creolebrew.com, that's CrioBru, we have a store directory, but you can purchase it at all Sprouts stores. in the coffee aisle, as well as several Whole Foods, including the West Coast Rocky Mountain region. We are in Wegmans on the East Coast, and in Utah we're in Harmon's, and we kind of are all over the country, and probably the best way to find it is on our website, and then we are on Amazon as well.
Great. Well, it sounds like we have some. We're going to enjoy it side by side with our coffee, and see what we think. We have some chocolate bars too.
And you might also note that there's a store locator on the company website.
Oh, great. Okay. All right.
So if one of 1,500 locations can be found on the map of wherever you live, and if there's not a place close by to get it, then you can certainly get it on the web.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. And on, I was just going to say, our Durci bars is D-U-R-C-I, and that's durci.com if you want to get your hands on the artisan chocolate bars as well.
Great. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, all the way from an unlikely place, it seems to us, to produce, I can't say a coffee substitute, a coffee competitor, because you're in the Beehive State, I believe. So we thank you so much for joining us today. And listeners, I'm sure you're going to want to look further.
Thank you very much for having us.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it for On the Menu Radio for another week. We hope you'll join us again, same time, same place next week. And in the meantime,
bye-bye.